The hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is the commemoration of all the faithful departed who wait their release from purgatory. And in this day, all the priests are allowed to say three masses, all of them requiem, for the deliverance of the holy souls from purgatory. And these souls who are still detained in purgatory, we call poor souls, because they are imprisoned to make reparation for their venial sins or to pay the temporal punishment of their sins. Today I'll tell you an ancient legend from the land where Bishop Dolan's family comes, that is Ireland. Among the countries of Europe, Ireland has never been famous for its great or worldwide spread culture or science, but it has until our days preserved our dear Catholic faith to Jesus, perhaps more fervently than any other country in the world. But this was not always so. In former days, there were great schools in Ireland where every sort of learning was taught to the people, and even the poorest had more knowledge at that time than many learned men have now. And most learned in the Ireland were the priests. Their learning was above all, so that the fame of Ireland went over the whole world, and many kings from foreign lands used to send their sons all the way to Ireland to be brought up in their schools. Now at this time, there was a little boy learning at one of these schools. This boy was a wonder to everyone for his cleverness. His parents were only working people and very poor. But young as the boy was, and as poor as he was, no king's or lord's son could come up to him in learning. Even the masters could not compete with him, for when they were trying to teach him, he would tell them something they never heard of before, and show them their ignorance. One of the boy's great triumphs was in argument, for no one could beat him in talk. He would turn around to show you that white was black, or maybe that there was no color at all in the world. When he grew up, his poor father and mother were so proud of him that they resolved to send him to the best schools run by priests, which they did at last, though they nearly starved themselves to get the money. Well, the boy grew up to be a teacher himself, and such another learned man was not in Ireland, and he was as great in argument as ever, so that no one could stand before him. Even the bishops tried to talk to him, but he showed them at once they knew nothing at all. As this man was the cleverest in Ireland, all the foreign kings sent their sons to him, and he eventually had a house room to give them, and he grew very proud and began to forget how he had come from the poor home of pious parents, and worst of all, even to forget God, who had made him what he was. And the pride of arguing got hold of him, so that from one thing to another he went on to prove that there was no purgatory, and then no hell, and then no heaven, and finally no God. And at last that men had no souls, but were no more than an animal, a dog or a cow, and when they died, that was an end of them. He would say, "Whoever saw a soul, if you can show me one, I will believe." But no one could make any answer to this. And at last they all came to believe that there was no other world, everything, and they decided that everyone might do what they liked in this world. This teacher set the example, for he took a beautiful girl as his wife, but as no priest or bishop in the whole land could be got to marry them, he read the service for himself without a priest. It was a great scandal in the country, yet no one dared to say a word, for all the king's sons were on his side and would have killed anyone who tried to prevent his wicked goings on. In this way, his fame began to spread about, and the whole Ireland was going to the bad. But then one night an angel came down from heaven and told the teacher he had only 24 hours to live. The teacher began to tremble and asked for a little more time. But the angel was firm and told him that could not be. "What do you want time for, you sinner?" he asked. "Oh, sir, have pity on my poor soul," urged the teacher. "Oh, you have a soul, then," said the angel. "Pray, how did you find that out?" "It has been fluttering in me ever since you appeared," answered the teacher. "What a fool I was not to think of it before." "A fool indeed," said the angel. "What good was all your learning when it could not tell you that you had a soul?" "Ah, my lord," said the teacher, "I am to die. Tell me how soon I may be in heaven." "Never," replied the angel. "You denied there was a heaven." "Then, my lord, may I go to purgatory?" "You denied purgatory also. You must go straight to hell," said the angel. "But, my lord," he answered, clever debater as he was, "I denied hell also, so you can't send me there either." The angel was a little puzzled at this. "Well," said he, "I'll tell you what I'll do. You may either live now on earth for 100 years, enjoying every pleasure, and then be cast into hell forever. Or you may die in 24 hours in the most terrible torments and pass through purgatory, there to remain till the day of judgment, if only you can find one person who believes, and through his belief mercy will be given to you, and your soul will be saved in the end." The teacher did not take 5 minutes to make up his mind. "I will have death in 24 hours, he said, "so that my soul may be saved at last." Then immediately the angel disappeared, and the teacher ran to his large room, where all his students, the scholars, and the king's sons were seated, and called out to them, "Now tell me the truth, and let no fear to contradict me. Tell me, what is your belief? Do men have souls?" "Master," they answered, "once we believed that men had souls, but thanks to your teaching, we believe so no longer. There is no hell, and no heaven, and no God. This is our belief, for it is thus you taught us." The teacher grew pale with fear and cried out, "Listen, I taught you a lie. There is a God, and man has an immortal soul. I believe now all I denied before." But the shouts of laughter that rose up drowned the teacher's voice, for they thought he was only trying them for an argument. "Prove it, master," they cried, "prove it. Who has ever seen God? Who has ever seen the soul?" And the room was stirred with their laughter. The teacher stood up to answer them, but could utter no word. All his eloquence, all his powers of argument had gone from him, and he could do nothing but wring his hands and cry out, "There is a God, there is a God. Lord, have mercy on my soul." And they all began to mock him and repeat his own words that he had taught them. "Show him to us, show us your God." And he fled from them, groaning with agony, for he saw that no one believed. And how then could his soul be saved? But he thought next of his wife. "She will believe," he said to himself. "Women never give up God." And he went to her, but she told him that she believed only what he had taught her, and that a good wife should believe in her husband first and before and above all things in heaven or earth. Then despair came to the teacher. He rushed from the house and began to ask everyone he met if they believed. But the same answer came from one and all. We believe only what you have taught us, for his doctrine has spread far and wide through the country. Then the teacher grew half mad with fear, for the hours were passing, and he flung himself down on the ground in a lonesome spot and wept and groaned in terror, for the time was coming fast when he must die. Just then a little child came by. God save you kindly, said the child to him. The teacher rose up. Do you believe in God? He asked. I have come from a far country to learn about him, said the child. Will your honor direct me to the best school they have in this country? The best school and the best teacher is close by, said he, and named himself. Oh, not that man, answered the child, for I am told he denies God and heaven and hell, and even that the man has a soul, because he cannot see it, but I would soon put him down. The teacher looked at the child earnestly and asked, how? Why, said the child, I would ask him if he believed he could show me his life. But he could not do that, my child, said the teacher. Life cannot be seen. We have it, but it is invisible. Then, if we have life, though we cannot see it, we also have a soul, though it is invisible, answered the child. When the teacher heard him speak these words, he fell down on his knees before him, weeping for joy, for now he knew his soul was safe. He had met one at last who believed, and he told the child his whole story, all his wickedness and pride and blasphemy against the great God, and how an angel had come to him and told him of the only way in which he could be saved, through the faith and prayers of someone who believed. He said to the child, watch, for a living thing will soar from my body as I die, and you will then know that my soul has ascended to the presence of God. And when you see this happen, make haste and run to my school and call on all my scholars to come and see that the soul of their master has left the body and that all he taught them was a lie, for that there is a God who punishes sin and a heaven and a hell, and that man has an immortal soul and destined for eternal happiness or misery. Then the teacher fell in the most horrible agony of the death, which lasted over an hour. But at last the agony seemed to cease, and the stillness of death settled on his face. Then the child who was watching saw a beautiful living creature with four snow-white wings mount from the dead man's body into the air and go fluttering round his head. So he ran to bring the scholars, and when they saw it, they all knew it was the soul of their master, and they watched with wonder and awe until it passed from sight into the clouds. This was the start of the popular belief that the butterflies are those souls who still wait their release from purgatory. But the schools of Ireland were quite deserted after that time, for people said, what is the use of going so far to learn when the wisest man in all Ireland did not know that he had a soul until he was near losing it, and was only saved at last through the simple belief of a little child. So you see, children, no matter how learned or wise you grow up to be, if you forget God, if you forget heaven, and if you forget that man has an immortal soul, all your education sums up into nothing. And take care not only of your own soul, but also the souls of your dead friends and relatives by praying for them, and also all the souls in purgatory. There are still many, many poor souls waiting to be released, like the one of this once proud and fallen teacher. You should do lots of work to study and become a wise man or woman, but never forget the poor souls. Because as long as you remember the sad story of poor souls, you remember also your own soul and how it is made and created by God, and how also it must one day return to God. May God bless you, and may He show mercy to your souls, children, as well as all the souls of the faithful departed.